إني أسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear listeners, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Rarsi, and we're going to be with you with another edition of the Ocean of Dua. In this version of the program, inshallah, we will discuss the true meaning of prayer and dua, the value of prayer, ways of reaching the Almighty Allah, acceptance, and also benefits of dua. So stay with us. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum wa al'an alahum ajma'in. Dear listeners, as you have been previously with us, we were trying to cite the actual text of the ziyarat reported from the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam regarding each of the elements of testimony and stand. We talked about the testimony, witness, and the one who is witnessed for, and in this program we'll start talking about the stand in our ziyarat. As we already mentioned, in our ziyarat we have a kind of political stand, and in politics judgment is followed by stand and mawqif. And when it comes to this, we have to take into consideration that taking a political stand requires clarity and unambiguity. It requires firmness and preparing yourself for sacrifice. You may have heard that in Ziyaratul Ashura, in the ending parts, we say اللهم لعن أول ظالم ظلم حق محمد وآل محمد وآخر تابع له على ذلك. We ask the Almighty Allah to curse on the people who were tyrants and who were cruel and the Ahlul Bayt عليهم السلام, and we also curse the people who will follow them until the end of the world, who will follow these cruel ones in cruelty and tyranny. So, taking a stand in relation to events like those of Siffin and Karbala in the history of Muslims is not only confined to those who were contemporaries with these events, rather it includes those who ally themselves with the contemporaries of those events in showing their pleasure and anger and love and hatred for what transpired. And this is one of the features of the days of separation in history, days in which people split into two distinct fronts, and there remains no obscurity for anyone, and the truth and the falsehood are not concealed from anyone. Those are called Ayyamul Furqan. But in those days, if someone is among the tyrants, we would understand that his heart has been sealed by Allah, his hearing and his sight have been taken away by him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. The days of separation, those events, those special events, continue to split and divide people into two groups throughout the history based on their agreement or disagreement, based on the people's love or hatred. But this love and hatred is toward what took place in the past. And the days of Siffin and Karbala are among the days of separation. So, consequently, whoever investigates into the events of the battles of Badr, Siffin and Karbala with a thorough understanding of both sides of the conflict, he would either stand beside this front and join in, or he would stand beside the other front and ally with it. And he cannot avoid both of them, or he cannot be fond of the both groups. This perfectly implies the stand and mawqif.
supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, "Har khujo mushkil javab anjo ravad." Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Har khujo keshti ab anjo ravad. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Ab kamju kishnagi abar bedas. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. Ta beju shad abaz balava as. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the mercy of God will come towards you. Paradise, thank you Allah. Now that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
Now I assume we have come to a somehow general understanding of the meaning of the concept of mawqif and stand. The battle which took place in Siffin and Karbala was a real battle of values, and it did not end by the lifting of the Quran in Siffin, nor with the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his companions in Karbala. So the encounter and battle between the two sides extends up to this day, and this is what history is. It forms the basis for the political and cultural makeup of the present of this nation, and it is not possible, nor it is correct, to detach the present from the past. The righteous ones inherit the heritage of their righteous ancestors, inherit their ancestors' positions and stands. Also, the arrogant ones and their followers inherit the positions and stands of their arrogant ancestors. And in the text of our ziyarat, reported from the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, we can clearly see the notion of the inheritance of the stands put in different ways. In the next program, we will give you some of the examples of different forms of the stand in our text of ziyarat. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Tell a little about yourself. Amerik Shmanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of law.
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, February 28, 2021. I'm Atefa Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special, as you may know, is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Tell us your views. Or if you have any messages for our dear listeners around the world, then record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Remember, dear listeners, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. And as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very important to us, especially to our technicians and engineers. These reception reports, as you may know, enable us in IRIB English Radio to provide a better service to our listeners throughout the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving a QSL card from us in normal days. I mean, these days, with the outbreak of coronavirus around the world, please don't expect a QSL card from IRIB English Radio. However, my colleagues are working on eQSL cards for you, dear listeners. As you may know, sending any material, including IRIB souvenirs, on behalf of our radio is temporarily halted due to the pandemic. So please be patient until we get back to normal life, and then we will send you paper QSL cards and other items. And here I truly appreciate those of our dear listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including N. Arun Kumar from India, Vlad Vinogradov from Russia, and Valentin Bradatino from Romania. And Arun, Vlad, and Valentin, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And our deepest and sincerest thanks to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us letters and emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here, and later during the program, I will read their emails and letters, including Mr. Najimuddin from India. Also, Sultan Mahmoud Sarkar from Bangladesh has sent us an email. Alejandro Filimonchak from Argentina has sent us an email. And from Sweden, we have an email from Jan Thornblom, one of our regular listeners. And also, Ivan Rodiono from Germany has sent us an email. Dear listeners, please stay with us until the end of the program. I will be back with all these kind messages after the music. Welcome back. First of all, we start this part of our program with an email from Mr. Najimuddin from India. Mr. Najimuddin from India says, "Dear IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings to all of you from International DX Radio Listeners Club members. We found your program very interesting and informative. We regularly listen to your wonderful program and visit your informative web pages. We must say that you are doing such a nice job in keeping us all informed about the various events taking place in the world through the program by radio and web pages. The fact is that whenever we need to know about the Islamic Republic of Iran and its various related things, IRIB English Radio becomes the best choice and a nice way to get the information. Also, I would like to say that your website and programs are a very nice source of information, entertainment, and knowledgeable. Keep up the good work. Salam, Mr. Najmuddin from India. And you, please accept our deep thanks for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. And also, we appreciate you for telling us your views about IRIB English Radio programs as well as the website. And also, as you noted, whenever there is the need to know about Iran and its developments, it's better to refer to IRIB source rather than trusting the Western media, which try to portray a false image about Iran. So thank you for writing to IRIB English Radio. Send our greetings to your club members and write to us soon, Mr. Najimuddin from India. Also, from Bangladesh, we have an email from Sultan Mahmud Sarkar. Sultan Mahmud Sarkar from Bangladesh says, "Hello, dear IRIB English Radio. At first, take my salam from Bangladesh. Hope you are well. I listened to the listeners' special program and liked it very much. I was especially happy to receive a reply to my letter. Also, the greetings of the listeners from all over the world on the occasion of the World Radio Day were very beautiful. I strongly believe that the Islamic Republic of Iran speaks for the oppressed people around the world. Iran is the only country that has the power to challenge any arrogant country like the United States. This has been possible only because of their faith in God. I wish you all good health and prosperity, all the best." And salam from Iran to Sultan Mahmud Sarkar from Bangladesh. I truly appreciate you for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. Yes, we reply to all our listeners' letters and emails in our program, listeners' special this Sunday program, and we in IRIB English Radio really value the commitment and support of our dear listeners. And your view about the role of Iran is respectable and valued. Thank you very much. Sultan Mahmud Sarkar from Bangladesh, good luck and tons of best wishes. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from our dear listeners from around the world. Stay tuned. Welcome back. The pieces of music that you hear during the program are all Iranian traditional music. We hope you enjoy them. From Argentina, we have an email from Alejandro Filimonchak. Alejandro says, "Hi from Buenos Aires. I could hear your transmission a few days ago from 2020 35 to 2020 50 UTC. I attached an audio clip sample, and I hope you can verify it for a QSL card. The reception was good, with a lot of noise, but overall it was good. Thank you very much. And I'm waiting for a verification from your respectful radio station, IRIB English Radio. God bless you all. Salam and greetings to you, Alejandro Filimonchak from Argentina. We are really grateful for writing this email to IRIB English Radio, and thank you for contacting Radio IRIB English Radio. It seems that you've already received IRIB English Radio signals. However, you mentioned that your reception was good, but accompanied by a lot of noise. What a pity. Alejandro, it was such a pleasure to receive this email from you, from Argentina. In your upcoming emails and letters, Alejandro, tell us your views about our broadcast. Good luck, and please stay in touch with IRIB English Radio. Also, this time from Sweden, we have an email from Jan Thornblom, who is one of our regular listeners. Jan Thornblom says, "Dear producer, thank you for your nice email and for your interest in my opinion. I think it's a great idea to switch to answering reception reports with email QSO. It also saves a lot of money for you. Best regards from Sweden." Salam, Jan Thornblom from Sweden. It seems that Jan Thornblom is addressing our producer, which has answered, which is a kind of reply about, a suggestion, actually, to sending our dear listeners eQSL cards in the time of coronavirus pandemic. Jan Thornblom from Sweden, thanks for your consideration, and please accept our sincerest gratitude for your suggestion about sending eQSL cards, which our dear colleagues are producing to send you in the future. Jan Thornblom from Sweden, write to us very soon and speak about your views about IRB English radio programs. Dear listeners, what about a short break? Welcome back. Here we have an email from Germany. This email is from Ivan Rodionov. Ivan says, "Dear the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran Broadcasting, today I received your station on my receiver here in Germany. Unfortunately, my English is quite poor, so I was unable to understand much in terms of content. There were some prayers followed by news program. Background music choice was good but a bit loud. Overall, not bad content. I'm waiting for your response, and please send me either a QSL or paper QSL card to my address." Salam and greetings to you, Ivan Rodionov from Germany. We really appreciate your taking time to listen to IRIB English Radio and also writing this text to our radio. Anyway, you said your English is quite poor, but we hope you improve it, and then you can listen to the content and you understand the content of IRIB English Radio programs. Though, we have also IRIB German Radio, and then you can switch to that radio maybe sometime. But we hope you can improve your English and listen to IRIB English Radio either. Anyway, you can also refer to our website at www.parsoday.com/en and use the content there. Anyway, as your request about sending eQSL or paper QSL card, as you may know, in the time of coronavirus pandemic, sending any material, including paper QSL card, to our dear listeners around the world is forbidden and halted, actually, temporarily, due to international protocols, but our colleagues are preparing eQSL cards for our dear listeners in the near future, of course. Ivan Rodionov from Germany, write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back. Thank you. here we come to the end of this week's edition of Listener's Special. Please keep in touch and have a good time.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
Shuma dar in qarn mojza kardid. ملت ایران ملت معجزه آسای قرن است.
الله اکبر خمینی رهبر. الله اکبر خمینی رهبر.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello and welcome to our audience, and particularly a warm welcome to our listeners of our program, The Man Who Changed the World. This is a program dedicated to the great soul of Imam Khomeini, may God bless him. And with me to discuss deeper insights into the character and personality of Imam Khomeini is, of course, my good friend Dr. Mahdi Tarabi, an Islamic scholar and academic. I'd like to welcome him to the program.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for inviting me.
In previous sessions, we've talked about polarization of the Imam, which meant that, you know, haq and batil, truth and falsehood.
Right.
If you're on the path of truth, you're bound to have enemies. And we covered that. Now we're moving on to something very interesting. And I think our listeners are going to be a little bit, I don't know, they're going to be sort of half and half about this. But it's a very, it's very interesting what you're about to, what you're about to say to us. But let me begin by saying that in Surah Baqarah, in chapter 2 of the Holy Quran, we have a passage regarding hypocrites. And it's quite lengthy. The Lord God does say a lot about hypocrites. And quite rightly so, it does say in the Holy Quran, from the Holy Quran, that there is a quote that says that when the enemy, the hypocrites, are with the believers, they say, La ilaha illallah, we believe in the one God that we believe. And when they're with their own shaitans, right, because of course Imam Khomeini referred to the U.S. as the great Satan. And when they are with their satans, they say, no, we're with you, which makes a lot of sense, even in the 21st century, because we know that. So, but you're going to turn around and say something entirely different, because because of course this is in the context of believers, that you know, not all are believers. There are those who simply pay lip service, but really they are with the kuffar. Their hearts and minds and souls are with the kuffar. So I'll let you quite nicely quote from the great Imam, and take us from there. What do you mean by this?
Right. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, you know, we were thinking about, okay, so we have these, everybody's excited and there's agreements and everybody's
all
talking.
Sorts of
things, and you know, we've done a program on it as well. You know, we analyzed it, you know,
because
agreements are good, nobody's against talking.
That's just the way we are. That's what we do.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, the same kind of line that Imam taught us, which is that you are rational, you talk, you... This is in the context of, you know, people talking and, you know, agreements being made and everybody being
happy.
Yes,
absolutely.
You know, that's all
exciting stuff. Yes.
Right, and we've done programs on, we did a program on it, you know, where we analyzed
we
it.
We always analyze the great game.
We're not naysayers, yes. We're not
in that right. business. No, I don't have a crystal ball.
Right, and so the point is that there's this sentence from Imam, mm-hmm. which is, you know, it's one of those,
yes,
you know, one of those sentences
mm-hmm.
where you're like, okay, cool, now I get it.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you the basic translation
please,
of it. It's
please.
Like, you know, it's not the exact word for word
sure,
translation.
Sure.
He says, even if America and Israel said, La ilaha illallah,
yes,
we wouldn't believe them.
We wouldn't believe them. Interesting.
Because they just want
to
fool us.
Yes. Because I would have thought, you know, being a believer or being in part of the Muslim Ummah, that would have been a wonderful thing if I heard that America had said, La ilaha. Because, you know, on a low-level basis of faith, I would have said, well, you know, they've converted to Islam or something. But you're talking about something entirely different.
Right, which is what another characteristic of Imam, which I want to talk about.
Exactly.
We talked about his fearlessness. Remember?
We did.
We talked about his ability to really distinguish haq from batil, which,
exactly.
you know, if you want to call it polarization, but we would call it something that he really is able to...
Yeah.
You know, distinguish haq from batil. Mm-hmm. Part of that, or another aspect of that, mm-hmm. or even something different from that, is just his ability to distinguish who's a munafiq.
Exactly.
Who's lying?
Who's lying? Who tells us lies?
Who's trying to fool you?
Exactly.
Okay. This is a big problem that we have within believers and religious people. Is, you know, we try to be good. We try to have good.
To do things in good faith.
We try to have good assumptions about people.
People,
and,
yes.
You know, we'd say, well, you know, they must be good, or, and yet, we see, and you know, you see the same thing with the Prophet, peace be upon him. Again, you see the
yes.
same thing with the Imam.
Very good.
With Imam Ali alayhi salam, you see it with the Imams.
Yes.
They are able to distinguish the enemy.
Yes.
They are able to distinguish who is trying to fool them. They can distinguish who is, you know, saying things out of nifaq, out of hypocrisy.
Because
okay.
it's very interesting what you're saying, because even if we put it in a historical context, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, at all times tried to give the enemy a way out, if
right.
I can put it that way.
Okay.
And we had treaties which allowed the kuffar, in a way, to repent, in a way, to find salvation.
Right.
He even said, okay, you don't accept me as a prophet, then fine, just cut out my name from... piece of paper.
The preamble.
Thank you. But what happens? We see that down the road, although everything was done in good faith, the other side cannot maintain it. And we realize that because, you know, somewhere down the line, they reneged.
Right.
So basically what you're saying is absolutely true, because there's a precedent for this. And it's true. We have deals. We have things happening. It excites us. Yes, wonderful. But you're right. There is caution.
Right. And it has to do with the fact that a believer
mm-hmm.
shouldn't be simple-minded about things.
Exactly.
That's the point. Okay?
Yeah.
The point is not that the fact that you're trying to be a good ethical person doesn't mean that you, you know, become simple-minded and not realize who the enemy is and who the... And at the same time, because, you know, I mean, I want to be clear about this.
Mm.
You have certain movements. You have this idea of you know, which is now... Supreme Leadership, you know, coined the phrase, he said, heroic flexibility. right? It's not about being, you know, just a, you know, one track stubborn, you know, you have to have flexibility. You have to try to, you know, try to do things in a way that gets you to your goal.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
But at the same time, not be simple minded
about
things. You know, when he talked about the heroic flexibility initially, he used the example of a wrestler. Where, you know, a wrestler might bend and twist in order to what? In order to win the battle.
The battle, yes.
When he's doing this.
Win the competition, yeah.
Win the competition. When he's doing this, he's aware of who is against him. He's not, you know, there for, you know, coffee and cake.
No.
Okay?
Yeah.
So I think what I'm trying to point out here is that you have a person like Imam Khomeini, peace be upon him.
Yes.
And then as a successor, Ayatollah Khomeini. And you can see that one of the distinct features of real Islamic leaders, which again, in its greatest manifestation, you see in the Imams and you see in the Prophet, is being able to distinguish, you know, people who are trying to fool you.
Exactly.
Distinguish who the enemy, not being fooled by certain words of the enemy, which might have an emotional appeal to you.
Exactly.
Like you said.
Mm.
Wouldn't it be great? Oh, suddenly, you know,
my God.
Right?
Yeah.
How are they going to try to fool you? They're not going to try to fool you by cursing you.
No.
Right?
Right.
You, when you're trying to get something from somebody, which is not your right, which is whatever, I'm saying, you know, let's just give an example of not you, me. Okay?
Yes.
Well, you try to, you know, ingratiate yourself. You try to do things that they like. You might even, you know, you try to be like them.
Yes.
So that they will be like, oh, you're just like me. Okay, here you go.
Yeah.
But it's a lie.
It's
not real.
Yeah.
So there again, and you know, this is why Imam, you know, this is why he's a great person. This is why he's a great leader.
Yeah.
This is why people love him.
Yeah.
Is because you have a cleric, a Islamic scholar who's supposed to, you know, be happy when somebody says La ilaha illallah.
Exactly.
Right?
That's a very good point.
You know?
Absolutely.
And he's
absolutely.
Like saying, even if they say the one thing which is the
core
of my belief.
Of my belief, yes.
Of what I'm trying to say, which is Tawheed, which is, you know, there's no God but Allah. Even if they say that very sentence, which is the core of my being, I'm not going to be fooled by it. And this is a problem that we have among the believers.
We do.
Okay? Is that we get fooled too easily. Okay? Whether it's, you know, the direct enemy that's you know, we're opposing, the one that really doesn't want us to be around, or whether it's, you know, trying to compromise with, you know, whatever.
It's very interesting.
People or movements or groups which, you know, in the end, they really don't believe in what you believe.
Exactly. I'd like to take a small example just to to take our argument forward. And this is real. This is actually happening. In the UK, at this moment in time, all Muslims are under surveillance. They're under surveillance by MI5 and MI6, the intelligence services of the UK. In what way do they carry out their surveillance? Well, you get a couple of officers, police officers, posing as Muslim converts.
Right.
They go to the mosques, they pick up on some Maulana, some scholar, if you like, an Imam Masjid, who they think is pretty vocal in what he has to say during the Jummah Khutbah, during the Friday sermons and stuff. And they pick up on this and they say, well, this guy looks like he could be trouble. So they go over, they say, well, you know, it's very interesting what you have to say and things like that. We love that. And it's very interesting. And they try to build a relationship with this person. And down a few months, they decide that they're going to convert to Islam. And, you know, the Imam Masjid becomes very happy. He says, well, you know, all you have to do is say, La ilaha illallah. And there you have it. And they've got the beards, they've got the silly little cap, and, you know, what we talked about, the caricatures of Muslims. They do that. And you know what happened? 6 months down the line, that Imam Masjid is now in jail. Because they asked him questions like, what's your take on jihad? Do you think it's the right thing to kill British soldiers in Afghanistan? Questions like this. And, of course, you know, his answers didn't go down too well with those officers. So they persecuted the family. They actually built up a huge case. It went to the Old Bailey. And the guy's now facing, I think, it's like a 10-year prison sentence, or maybe even he's probably off to Gitmo. So, you know, this is the thing. So what you're really saying there is very, very, very powerful, because the Imam, may God bless his soul, is really pointing us out. Don't be naive of the enemy.
Don't be naive. Exactly. Don't be naive.
And that's a real example.
Right. And it's not about it's not about that, you know, somebody who has, you know, has good assumptions about other people as a bad person.
Yes.
It's just there's a difference between, you know, that and somebody who is a leader of a community. Or somebody who has a responsibility for others being naive.
Yes.
If you're just in your own life and you don't have family and kids and you're just living your you're living in your own little, you know, apartment somewhere and have nothing to do with people, whatever. I mean, okay, maybe your naivete is just gonna harm you.
Yes.
But the point is, when you have, you know, governments, when you have, you know, societies, when you have Muslims who have responsibility for others, they can't be naive. They can't. And, you know, I'll give you another example.
Please.
Because we've talked about this.
Yes.
The Turkish leaders.
Yeah, so...
Okay?
Yeah, so we haven't
now,
spoken
it's not
about
like, it's not like, you know, Hillary came and said, la ilaha illallah, but, you know...
Yeah, she was close to it.
Right. She was close. Right, so, I mean, it's like, just use your brain.
I know.
You know? All this history and all these things, because, you know, we recently had the Supreme Leader, you know, mentioning, giving us a little short history of what America has done in the region and to Iran.
Sure.
You know, just to balance things out a little. In
yes,
terms of,
I mean,
you know,
he did point out that they actually slaughtered something like 4 million natives.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about also even...
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that is a whole... Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
That,
I mean, for goodness sake, I mean, let's
that's
get...
That's its own story.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get things into perspective.
What they did in their own so-called, you know... So-called own country.
Own country,
own country,
in inverted commas.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, why would you believe a government, people, you know, statesmen, stateswomen from, you know, America, Britain, France, you know, Israel, with that history? And you read the Quran.
Absolutely.
Okay? Like, you know,
yeah, it's crazy.
You've read the Quran. Yeah. I know you've read the Quran.
Yeah. You know? What did you get out of it?
Dr. Davutoglu, I know you've read the
Quran,
right?
Yeah.
I mean,
but... You know,
did you understand?
Did you understand anything of it?
Right.
I mean, that's the thing, isn't it?
Why would you rely on the Americans? Okay. And worst of all, because you know, we're like, so what do we do about, you know? Because that's clear. And you know, it's not simply munafiq. It's not simply an issue of being munafiq.
No,
they're not munafiq. They're not saying.
Yeah.
You know, they're not saying we're Muslim.
No.
You know.
No.
What I'm trying to point out is that, you know, this sentence by Imam, again, you know, even if. America, if America and Israel, even if they said La ilaha illallah, we wouldn't believe them.
Believe
them. You know, don't be swayed by these emotional, you know, actions of other people. Use your brain. Step back for a second. Think about the essence of the of who's opposite you.
Sure.
Think about their nature. Think about their history.
It's very important.
Okay. Think about who is standing in front of you. You know, don't get caught up. This is how Shaitan, you know...
Does his work.
Fools you.
Fools you. That's exactly what
okay.
he does.
You go that line, which is the line, you know, the Sirat al-Mustaqim. You know, it doesn't mean that you have to curse them immediately front of them. It doesn't mean that you have to, you know, behave in an irrational manner or in a rude manner, even to the enemy. It's just know who the enemy is.
Exactly.
So, you know, I just wanted to point that out about Imam, that... Very, very precise understanding of who the enemy is. This is on, as it relates to enemies, you know, outside of the Islamic world or of the Muslims or even outside Iran.
Sure.
Another example of what we're talking about
and
what I'm talking about is how he was able to understand those people within the revolutionary movement who were a danger.
Very good
point. And who might have said La ilaha illallah.
Of course.
But who didn't believe it.
No.
The greatest example being Munafiqeen organization.
Exactly. Because they were looking for their own benefit and their own power in the country.
They were using Islam as
a tool to get to where they wanted to get.
To, you know, play with the emotions of people who are religious. But in reality, it was just a cult.
It was
like, you know, let's just have these two people. I don't even want to mention their names.
No.
Okay? Because...
No, it's not.
They're just, they're, you know...
No.
They're not worthy of...
Yeah, I can see their images just now.
They're not even worthy of being mentioned.
No mention, yeah.
Right? It's basically, you know, brainwashed cult.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And from the very... we're talking, you know, way before the revolution, where the revolutionary movements had begun, you know, in the 60s.
Sure.
you had these efforts by these groups like Munafiqeen and others to try to get some sort of, you know, some sort of credibility by being associated with Imam.
Yes, exactly, and to become popular.
Right.
And a populist
through
movement.
Through their, you know, get a kind of quote-unquote blessing from Imam.
Imam, yes.
And he refused to give it to them.
Yes, because he knew their nature.
He knew that they were not
what
Muslim.
They say they are.
They were not La ilaha. They didn't believe in La ilaha illallah. When they said La ilaha, they didn't believe it. This is why they're called munafiqi.
Exactly. That's the whole
right.
point, isn't it?
Right.
This is what we were referring to in Surah Baqarah.
Okay.
That's the whole point. Yes.
Because they asked him, you know, in the 60s, are we allowed to give of our homes to certain movements in the revolutionary struggle? And he forbid it.
He forbade it.
He said, don't give it to them.
No, no, no.
They're not, their goal is not Islam.
Islam.
Okay.
Mashallah.
That's on the left and on the Marxist or whatever.
Yeah, they were.
On
I mean,
that
we found out later
on the more liberal side of things,
mm.
he stood firmly against, and we've mentioned this before,
sure.
those organizations which had the claim or the mantle of religiosity, you know, the nationalist religious groups, the freedom movement, whatever, you know, who came from a liberal, even to a certain extent conservative social background, you know, middle class, upper class,
sure.
who basically were trying to go that kind of liberal conservative Western model for Iran.
Yes, exactly.
Not the Marxist model.
No, the Western
they said, well, you know, as Iranians, we are also Muslim and, you know, we pray and whatever and all
yeah.
that. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not like they were not, you know,
practicing Muslims
right?
or religious.
But they were extremely naive.
They were.
In the sense of like, well, let's try to come to a deal with the Americans, you know, at the time of the revolution. It's
That's
not even
right.
it's not even now when we're powerful
yes, I know.
And where we have, you know, where we have 100 things that have happened in these 35 years that
yes.
give us the ability to go sit there for, you know, months on end and negotiate and come to a deal that,
sure.
that we like and that benefits us to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
It's at that time when we were just passed through being their slaves, and now suddenly they're like, well, you know, let's... So, and you see Imam standing very firmly saying, even though that you are Muslims and you say La ilaha illallah, and again, we mentioned this example in the previous program, the issue came about Islamic laws.
Yes.
Especially as it
That's
relates
right. we mentioned this
especially
before.
As it relates to criminal offenses.
Yes, yes.
Being implemented.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, that's what you do in an Islamic government.
Exactly.
You know, that's exactly.
That's
part of Islam. You can't, you know, pick and choose.
Exactly.
You know, I like the prayer part. I don't like the part about executing, you know, a person who's killed, you know, a whole family.
Yeah.
So that's part of Islamic law as well.
Exactly.
You can't pick and choose it.
Okay.
There's even ayat in the Quran talking about you take one part of the Quran and
yes,
you
exactly,
the
and
other.
Choose another. You're going to do like what Bani Israel did before?
Right. Yeah. So a lot of Muslims do that, unfortunately.
I know they do.
And I'm not saying, maybe I do it myself as well. I don't know. I'm just saying that you're not supposed to do that. Okay?
Sure.
The point is, so the minute you have these people who, you know, pray, fast,
mm-hmm.
all the things,
Fine.
And then they're like, oh, if we do Islamic laws as it relates to criminal offenses, this will be against the Charter of Human Rights, Human Rights Charter of the UN.
Mm.
You know what Imam said. He said anybody who denies Hudud, the
is a kafir.
Is a kafir.
Mm.
They say La ilaha illallah,
mm.
they pray.
Yeah,
he says
yeah.
anybody who denies this aspect of Islam, it's like denying all of Islam.
So
why are you denying that part of it?
Hmm.
Why are
it's
you
a very
saying
interesting
this,
question.
Right? So, again, not all enemies are the same. Not all people whose final agenda is not Islam are going to
yes,
approach it in a certain
hmm.
manner. You have people who have a lesser degree of issues, who have greater degrees
degree
of problems
issues,
and issues in their conduct and
hmm.
in their beliefs.
Sure.
So it doesn't mean that you treat all of them exactly the same way. It doesn't mean that your reaction to them is all the same.
And you have to be very sophisticated in how
but
you
But you have to understand mm. who the enemy is. And you have to understand...
At all levels.
And you have to understand who it is that really wants Islam as the goal.
Exactly.
And not just any Islam, the Islam of their nafs.
Uh-huh.
It's the Islam of Ahlul Bayt.
Because remember, this is very interesting because this does go back to something we've spoken about previously. That, you know, it was very interesting how Imam, and God bless his great soul, honestly, I mean, I was thrown by this all the time in the Western press, that he talked about, you know, Muhammadan Islam, and then he talked about American Islam.
Exactly.
And I couldn't figure out what he... America, you know...
Right.
if you know anything about America, you can't associate the word Islam with it. But, you know, he said that there's two different types.
He said it at some point,
yeah,
and places. He said they want an Islam in which there's no jihad, where there's no qisas.
It's like half of all the stuff is thrown out.
All those issues relating to you know, marital relations and ethical matters that relates to the relationship between men and
just having
and women
a wee wash.
And family and all that are all out of it. That's the kind of Islam they want.
Yes, which basically means you just chuck it away.
Right. So he's saying that this... You know, it's not even his opinion. He's saying in the Quran says you can't.
You can't.
It's a package. Yeah. It's a package deal.
It's throwing the baby out of the bathwater.
It's
isn't
a package
it?
Deal. Hmm. It's all or nothing.
It's all or nothing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, all or nothing, not in the sense that we are able to implement everything in our lives. We have different capacities.
Capacities, yes.
You know, there's a very big. You know that Islamic, according to Islamic law, this is a very important point, and I really would like our listeners to really pay attention to this. There's a big, big difference.
Hmm.
There's a world of difference. According to Islamic law, between somebody who says, there's two kind of people I'm going to mention.
Please.
The first person says, I don't deny Islamic law. I don't deny that there is prayer five times. I don't deny that there is fasting during the month of Ramadan, etc., etc., etc. But I don't have the power to do it, or I'm not capable of doing it.
Mm. That's true.
There's a difference between a person who says this and a person who says, no, there is no prayer. I believe in God, but there really isn't. This was just
very
something
good.
That was in the Quran,
excellent.
You know, whatever, or you guys made it up from the Rivayat. Uh-huh.
Yes, sure.
Or, you know, whatever, the fasting. No, there is God, the Prophet was. But, you know, this fasting thing, well, this was in the old days when people didn't have doctors, or you know, this kind of stuff that we hear. There's a world of difference between these two.
Two people, yes.
The first one, no problem.
No problem.
No problem.
No.
It really...
No.
The only problem that person has is with himself and God.
With his God,
he's
yes.
not denying it.
He's not denying anything. Absolutely.
He's just saying, I'm
wonderful.
Weak. I can't do it. Or, you know...
Yeah, there's some difficulty.
Right. Mm. You know, this is completely different than somebody who's going to deny the essence of it. Even though they might say, you know, la ilaha illallah.
But that's the whole point, isn't it? This is the point that we are arriving at.
It's not about saying it.
No.
Only. It's about the consequences.
Consequences of what's being said.
Mm. So when he says, yo, no, you know, I believe in God, of course there's a God. Because, you know, you hear this. They're like, oh, of course there's God. You know, who's very few people actually deny
God.
Right, you know?
Yeah, I think since the outset of humanity, they haven't denied.
Right.
Even
we're talking about in Islamic communities and societies,
absolutely.
Very few people will
deny that.
Or say, no, the Prophet wasn't the Prophet. It's when it comes to the consequences of saying, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. You know? That's what it comes down to. And
that's what the Imams are referring to, exactly.
Right. So here we have Imam Khomeini, as we mentioned previously, fearless.
I know.
And, you
wonderful.
Know, really fearless. Not like, you know,
no.
show fearless and
no,
you know,
no, no.
showing off.
Brave as it because he's from Imam Ali. What can you say?
Right.
You know, I mean, come on, let's get things
right.
into perspective.
Number one.
Here.
Number two. Completely distinguishing haq from batil without any sort of, you know, wishy-washiness.
Wishy-washiness. Thank you.
Okay? No wishy-washiness.
No wishy-washy.
Okay? Because we have that in the culture and we have that
among
the
we've seen it for the last 1400
and
years.
And it's, you know, it's a kind of creeping way of nifaq. It's a kind of creeping nifaq.
It is. It's a creeping nifaq. Very nicely put. It's an engineering term. I can see it now. Creeping nifaq. I can do a formula for that.
Exactly.
Yes, thank
please
you.
Figure out the formula.
I will. I'll let you know.
Nifaq, so
I certainly will let you know on
right?
this program.
The third thing we're mentioning now is the fact that he was very keen and, how should I say it, he was very precise and very exact and very capable of distinguishing the enemy, distinguishing who is trying to fool him and who is really being honest and sincere.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
With the sentence that we mentioned, which is that even if Israel and even if America and Israel say La ilaha illallah, we won't believe them.
Exactly.
Because they're trying to fool us.
Fool us.
Okay? And what we're trying to say here is that this relates to you as a Muslim individually and as a community, as it relates to outside enemies
absolutely.
That are clear,
mm-hmm.
and as it relates to nifaq within the Muslim community. There are, you know, that's the whole point of a Muslim.
This is the greatest danger that we as believers
right?
face.
Because obviously being within the Islamic community means you've said La ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah. Allah?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So the point is, you know, who's being honest?
Who's being honest?
Who's accepting?
Who's sincere in terms
who's
of
being,
his
who's accepting the consequences of that? Okay, and we see in the history of Imam and in what he did, Imam Khomeini, you had people within the revolutionary movement, within the so-called Islamic tent, and they were saying it, and yet they were after the opposite.
After the opposite.
And he was able to distinguish them. At a time when people were like, well, you know, we have the Shah as the enemy, well, let's not, you know, why are you being so? And he's like, no, he could see the result of what they're saying, you know, 30 years down the road.
Exactly.
Because he understood Islam, because he was a student of Quran. And in the Quran, it teaches you all these things.
Wonderful.
Okay? If you read the Quran, and not just read it as a... As hips, or as trying to just parrot-wise, you know?
No.
Parrot-like fashion.
No.
Where you actually...
That hives is living it.
Right. It's the pondering on it, the thinking about it, the you know, it going into your soul and it becoming something that then you use in your life.
Exactly.
In order to be able to distinguish the issues and the challenges.
The truth and false.
Right. Like this is where Imam comes from.
Exactly.
And this is where we have to also try to get ourselves and to come from that position as well.
Dr. Mati Tarabi, thank you very much. And on that note, we'll end the program. But wonderful. Absolutely wonderful in terms of that insight about the Imam. May God bless his great soul. We miss him. And I just like to thank our listeners for listening to the program. I hope they benefited from what we had to say today. And it just leaves me to say, Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and mercy and blessings of Allah be upon you all. Thank you for listening.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Leadership from the perspective of Imam Khomeini. Imam Khomeini speaks about the model of leadership. In the early days of Islam, a government whose Wali al-Amr was equal to the simplest citizen living there before the law. In such a government, all are equal before the law because the Islamic law is a divine one and all. Whether the ruler, the prophet, the imam, or the common people are equal before Allah, be he blessed, the exalted. The Islamic leader was not like kings and princes.